Duncan awoke to a scream. Its punch hit quickly and retracted. Or had it come in a dream? Outside, darkness persisted, though moonlight seeped through the drapes. From the hallway, a band of light glowed under the bedroom door. Then something whimpered, just past it. It sounded foreign, the pitch high and tight. The children hadn't called in the night for years.
"What's going on?"
Josie said, groping for the lamp on their nightstand. The digital clock read 2:34. After his eyes adjusted, Duncan rolled, stood, and ran across the room, his pajamas flapping against his legs, the night air chilling him through the thin fabric. In the hall he found his eldest daughter, Glynis, crouched, knees to chest. He squatted and palmed her back. "What's wrong?" She replied with a gasp between sobs. In her room, the covers drooped off the bed, and a pillow lay on the carpet. Otherwise, nothing looked disturbed. Next in line stood Lindsay's door. He pushed it open and flipped on the overhead. A pillow was covering her face, and her hands curled on her chest defensively. She never slept that way, instead curling into a ball on her side, a holdover from childhood when she sucked her thumb obsessively. The blanket hung off her, revealing her nightgown, which twisted around her thighs. Even after Duncan removed the pillow, his daughter didn't move, her eyes half-closed, mouth open. Her forehead felt cool, and on her throat he saw a red depression. He touched the spot lightly, but she didn't flinch. "Lindsay?" No reply. He pulled her to his chest and rubbed her back, but she didn't return the hug, her body still and limp. Up close, she felt thin, her ribs a washboard under his palms, and she smelled like peaches, from some cream or soap, probably. No way to tell if that was unusual. These days he rarely held her for long since adult children reacted like cats, skittish of affection. He embraced her for some time, 5 seconds or a minute he couldn't say, before her chest expanded. It happened slowly, and only once. Had he imagined it? He held his breath until it came again, a swell that proved she could still breathe. "What's going on?" He turned to find Josie standing in the doorway. "Get Bill," he said. His wife's footsteps thumped along the carpeted hall and cascaded down the steps. Then the front door slammed against a wall. Soon, a cold breeze filtered up the stairs. While waiting, Duncan tallied Lindsay's every breath, which came irregularly. He tried to count the seconds between but couldn't get a steady rhythm. How much longer could it take? Bill Connolly, their neighbor and the kid's pediatrician, lived barely 100 yards away. If Josie ran, she'd be there in seconds. Then what? She'd bang on the door, maybe twice, wait as he dressed. But weren't doctors trained to respond quickly? They should have come already. Instead, he heard only the mantle clock ticking downstairs. He would have gone himself, except only his warmth and comfort were keeping Lindsay alive.